I want to take you on a short trip to Leviticus. So while you're looking for Leviticus, it's right at the beginning of your Bible. And we're going to go to chapter 23. Leviticus, chapter 23. This is one of the areas where God really pushed my buttons back in 86 and 87 when a man of God came into my life that had honored the feast and taken time out to celebrate Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles. He became an incredible irritation to me. Because all my theology about Christianity was now in question. All my understanding of, oh, the Old Testament ain't that important, blah, 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 I'm only in the New. Well, the scripture also says that the old is for us to learn from. So there's a purpose of the Old Covenant. And sometimes we kind of get stubborn and we look at what's comfortable, and what's uncomfortable, we kind of throw it away, like throwing the baby with the water because he just gave him a bath. Well, you should keep the baby. If you're smart, don't pull the drain and flush him away. So, this was the word that this man proceeded to pound into my heart. And I say pound because he did that. Leviticus 23, verse 1. The Lord said to Moses, "Speak to the Israelites and say to them, these are my appointed feasts." Mine. Why are they his? My appointed feasts. And you know what? It didn't penetrate at the beginning. Because we all have our own little agenda. And we celebrate whatever, however, not realizing that a lot of what we celebrate during the year is really demonic spirits. There's your vision, by the way, of your golden calf. Your golden calf could be a lot of different things that you're comfortable with. The things that you depend on to survive throughout the year. But God set a motion in this chapter where he says, these are my feasts. These are my time. I want you to gather together in these seasons. Now you say, well, the New Testament doesn't say that. Yes, it does. Because Jesus celebrated all the feasts every year. The first church, including St. Paul, celebrated the feast every year. Why? Because God's got a plan. God's plan is not according to your dictates. It is according to his prerogative. And forgot sometimes, well, I should say it this way. We forget he's God. And he can do whatever he wants. He's sovereign.
That's right.
He's a lot bigger than what you have on your shoulders. And his purpose is to build you and me up, not to tear us down. We're his kids. How many of you have children? Put your hand way up. Would you tear down your child to please yourself? No. You would build that child up to the best of your ability, and if you don't have any, you'll borrow a few. I have some of my own, and I have some that I've adopted. That goes for a young man in Pittsfield that God gave me along with his sister, and we won't go any further than that, okay? So the Lord said to Moses, speak. He didn't say think about it. Speak to the the Israelites and say to them, these are my appointed feasts, the appointed feasts of the Lord, which you are to proclaim as sacred assemblies. Sacred assemblies, times of refreshing, times of education, times of putting things back together the way they should be. Because how many know when you're in everyday work life, you get to a ho-hum stage? And I can tell you personally, when I said to the Lord, 86, 87, God, how can this, I just can't see how. There's no way I can do this. First of all, my boss, which is Pastor Gino, will never give me permission. So the first year in 87, I set a time as much as I could. I canceled as many things as I could off my calendar to take as much time with the Lord by myself. Mm-hmm. Because the feast was being celebrated with this other family of God in a different region, and I couldn't go. My finances couldn't afford it, etc. So obviously the door was closed. But I honored the Lord my own way every single day and every night. Instead of having the TV running, I opened my Bible. Instead of being running around, do this, do that, I tried to serve the saints in my area. That was my choice. That was what I was able to do. In 1988, I want to go to Tabernacles. I now have a hunger in me to go. Well, it's happening in Oregon. Well, how am I going to get to Oregon, Lord? There's no way. First of all, I can't even afford the ticket. Okay? So how are you going to do this? He said, would you give it to me? He says, now you've got the hunger. Can I fill you up? So before the Lord, by myself, said to the Lord, all right, I am willing to ask for Pastor to give me a week off. That's the first step. So I got to sit down with Pastor Gino, and I said, I have a desire in my heart to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles this year. So could I have the week of whatever it was, September or October? He said, well, where are you going? I said, well, it's being celebrated in Oregon. And I believe God was going to make a way for me. So he kind of looked at me. He says, you know, he says, these are Jewish feasts. I said, yeah, I know. I said, but I think they're God's feasts according to the word. Oh, you're right. He says, you're right. He said, well, I'll let you know. A couple days later, he calls me. I go upstairs. He says, Kim, you got your time off. No problem. We'll cover for you. Obviously, Linda might have been working on the prayer lines at that time. So I said to the Lord, how are you going to do this? He says, I thought you told me that I was in control. Do you want to do it, or are you going to let me do it? So I happened to say at one of the services that I was officiating that, you know, I had a great desire. And I didn't say what, but I had a great desire. And I was asking God to honor that desire that he'd created. I didn't create it. He did. So a few days later, the lady calls me and says, by the way, Kim, I have a desire too. I says, you do? Yeah, I want to go to Oregon for the feast. And I have nobody to go with. Now, this lady happened to be a friend of my mom's. She says, would you go? And already, you know, I'm jumping up and down inside. Yes, absolutely, I'd love to go. I said, yes, definitely, I'd love to go. Well, she says, consider your airfare paid.
Amen.
Wow. Wow. Tears are falling on my desk. Lord, how are you going to do this? Well, there's half the problem, right? The airfare. Now all I got to do is pay for the week's vacation. So a friend of mine, who happened to be a Full Gospel businessman, says to me, he's from Westfield, so I connected with him maybe once a month, calls me and says, by the way, Kim, are you thinking about going to the feast? Oh, I said, I've been doing a lot of thinking. He said, you can bunk in my little cottage. I booked a cottage. And so we had individual cottages. They were built like little houses. It looked like little dollhouses. There's a front porch with two rocking chairs, two twin beds inside, and a place to wash up, etc., etc. And off we went and had the most awesome time that you could ever conceive. I was so drunk in God that I had a hard time to walk. My other problem was, at that time I had put on a couple pounds, and I'm actually in the airplane, I had said to the Lord, "You got to really curb my appetite, because, you know, I'm not doing too good here. I really am not." And I heard the word, "It's a feast." What do you do at a feast? Okay? I had never been to this place. And so when we entered the campground, they said, "It's family style."
Oh, stop it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, stop it.
The table seated about 10 people each. And at the end of each table, there were two chairs. And whoever happened to sit at the end of the table had to go to the counter and take these great big bowls and bring them to the table of whatever we were having. And the kitchen was awesome. Okay? There was about 150 people there. I don't imagine anybody could conceive, but I wasn't that old then, but I could put away food. And honest to God, I can just remember that first breakfast.
Oh.
They had stacks, stacks of pancakes this high,
yes.
And you brought one of each of those,
yes.
Along with bacon and eggs.
Yes.
And then they had these soup bowls. I'm not exaggerating. Soup bowls of, have you ever heard of gooseberries?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, they make raspberries. Really a shame. I had never had them, but I knew raspberries. I'm not exaggerating. Soup bowls like this and this high, full of these, like in a sauce, and you could just dump it on your pancakes.
Oh.
Honest to God, and I ate like a feasting person, okay? I kept saying, "God, I don't believe it, I'm hungry again." And I ate the whole week, and I lost weight.
Oh, I'm on the goal.
I got on the scale before I came home.
Better than Weight Watchers.
Right. He said, "Did you enjoy my feast?" I had no answer because I couldn't talk. I could not talk. By the way, it says in verse 3, there are 6 days when you may work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of rest, a day of sacred assembly. You are not to do any work thereever, for wherever you live. It is a Sabbath to the Lord. Verse 4. These are the Lord's appointed feasts. Is that clear enough? The sacred assemblies you are to proclaim at their appointed times. The Lord's Passover begins at twilight in the 14th day of the first month. On the 15th day of that month, the Lord's Feast of Unleavened Bread begins. For 7 days you must eat bread made without yeast, and on the first day hold a sacred assembly and do no regular work. For 7 days present an offering made to the Lord by fire, and on the seventh day hold a sacred assembly and do no regular work. So be it. That's simple. It's not complicated. So my time in that particular experience changed my entire life. I've not missed a Passover, a Pentecost, or a Tabernacles feast since that day. When I was able to trust God to take me through instead of taking myself through. See, you can do things on your own. But when God says it's time to bless you, it's time to set things into you, it's like saying to your car, "Well, the oil change light is on, it's flashing back and forth," and you say, "Get along, get along, get along. Another 100 miles, another 1,000 miles, another 500 miles. and you do it your way, and then all of a sudden the thing goes, whoa. Whose fault is it?
Yours.
Why? It's got a light. It's flashing. It's telling you what to do, and you refuse to obey. And you wonder why the thing broke. Oh, it's going to cost me a lot of money to get it fixed. How much does it cost to get you in and out of a hospital? See, what I learned is there are principles in God's kingdom that'll keep you healthy and wealthy and wise. If you do it His way, not you dictating to Him, but you submitting to what He wants for and from you. Close your eyes. Put your hand over your heart. Say, Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
I am going to obey. Whatever you tell me, whenever.
Whatever you tell me, whenever.
And however,
however,
to proceed with these feasts.
Show me what to do.
Show me what to do. Then give me the grace to carry it out. And if it costs me something, and I haven't got the money,
I'll provide
an open door
to lower my pride
and let you pay
my way
for your glory.
In Jesus' name,
I pray.